This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everybody, and welcome to New Beginnings. Joining us this week, we'll have an update on COVID and Dr. Nathan Chomolo from the state of Minnesota. He's here to talk about new booster shots and his take on the new CDC guidelines. Lybel Sternbach is here, as well as Joe McKenzie, and we'll give you the buzz today's National Day and Words to the Wise. All this and more on New Beginnings, and we're ready to go right now. Hi, everyone. We begin with an update on COVID. Around 90% of Americans will be within 5 miles of a vaccine center distributing the new Omicron-specific booster by the end of this week. That's according to Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra. He says centers would be located in many pharmacies as well as other community centers. He also touted the efforts of various organizations around the country with plans to host vaccine drives to get more vulnerable Americans immunized. Also, a top White House health official is reminding Americans that the COVID vaccine isn't partisan. COVID-19 response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha is stressing that getting the new Omicron-specific booster shot wasn't a political issue. He encouraged Americans to roll up their sleeves this fall and get themselves protected. He spoke as the midterm elections are about 60 days away. The new Omicron-specific booster shot marks an important shift in the fight against COVID-19. He explains that not only did the new shot protect against severe infection and transmission, but was a distinct step toward a single annual vaccine, much like that for the flu. Dr. Jha also confirms that COVID-19 vaccines would continue to be free to the public. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings. Dr. Nathan Chomolo, Medical Director for the state of Minnesota, focusing on Medicaid and Minnesota Care programs. You led the charge and gave direction to all things COVID for quite some time for the state of Minnesota. Are you comfortable with the new CDC guidelines that virtually take all the restrictions away from people who have COVID, social distancing, quarantining, and all the rest of it? What is your comment on that? And are we really that safe right now? Do we have that type of herd mentality with 95% of people being vaccinated or having the antigens?
Yeah, so it's a really complicated situation we find ourselves in, because there's a lot of what we call mixed immunity, folks who've gotten all their shots, including the boosters, folks that have gotten just one or two shots, folks that have gotten COVID once or twice, but maybe they got it, you know, way early in the pandemic, and now they're really not protected that much against some of these new variants. And so I was disappointed in the CDC moving back when we're still seeing hundreds of people a day, you know, dying to this disease. And I think we've moved a little bit too far to the kind of individual responsibility instead of some of these kind of simple shared policies we could do around masking, around distancing. And then this is all coming in a time where both Congress and our state legislature didn't give us the funding that we had in the early in the pandemic to really do some of the, you know, outreach and engagement with folks and supports to places like schools. So I think, you know, it was really a head scratcher to me, some of the steps that they chose to take. I know that, you know, I go to public places. I'm still going, you know, to be masked and going in and doing my errands. We're talking to our son as he gets ready for kindergarten about, you know, needing to wear a mask at times. And so I think, you know, the guidance wasn't as clear. It wasn't as focused on the overall public. We do have lots of tools. You know, we have vaccinations. We have medication. Folks can wear masks in places. But I think, you know, some part of public health is kind of doing some of these broader things for everyone, not just for yourself.
All right. Doctor, we got to leave it right there. It's great reconnecting with you after a few weeks of not being able to talk. But thank you for the information this morning. If we're looking for more details, how can we get that information?
Yeah, if you go to the Department of Human Services page, Minnesota HHS.gov and DHS or Department of Human Services. You should be able to find more information. MNSURE is always a good place to look for healthcare coverage as well, MNSURE. So check out those opportunities. And then if there's other needs you have in your family, housing, child care, food, MN Benefits, MNBENEFITS is a good place to check out what you might be eligible for.
All right. Dr. Tumalo, thanks for being with us this morning. Now it's time to see what's going on for the new beginners out there. Let's bring in three things with Cassie Crandall.
Thank you, Freddie. Thing one this week. Well, fall is here. Are you looking for things to do now that summer's over, but there's that beautiful fall weather in Minnesota? Well, here's something for you. Depot Adventures, complete St. Paul walking tour. It starts on the steps of the Cathedral of St. Paul. And you tour neighborhoods from Summit Hill to the secret caves that stored illegal booze-making facilities. You'll learn there's lots more to this city than meets the eye. All kinds of dates this fall. Usually starts at 11 a.m. and goes until 2 p.m. Complete St. Paul walking tour costs $69. Something to think about before the winter hits. And my thing, too, this week. Speaking of fall, school's back in session in Minnesota. Remember to keep an eye out for kids. They don't always pay attention, right? Running out into the street, running along sidewalks, riding their bikes, and of course, those ever important school buses. Make sure you're watching for them. Watch for those flashing lights. Watch for those stop arms. Nothing's more important than our children, right? Stay safe. And lastly, thing number three this week. You know, I've really been trying hard to look for good stories in the news, positive things, and unfortunately, it seems like there just aren't any. So I found this quote, "Always believe that something good is about to happen," because we got to keep believing. We got to keep looking for the good things. The good things aren't always reported in the news, but they are out there. We just got to keep looking. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble. Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit FreddieBell.com/New Beginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
This is New Beginnings, and right now, sitting to my right, your left, is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He has this knack of turning candidates into contenders. The last couple of weeks we got together, we were talking about getting you ready for the hiring season. Then we gave you some ideas on how to stand out in that hiring process. Today we want to talk about wisdom. Joe McKenzie, good morning, hello, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us.
I'm glad to be here because I am looking forward to our conversation today about your book, Words to the Wise. And this has been a series of ours where really your words to the wise really come to life in a radio format to help others. And we've covered lots of different topics. adversity and finesse. And today I want to talk about wisdom. And on page 41 of your book, you talk about, you say, know when to ask for help. Freddie Bell, why is it so important with your experience to know when it's time to ask for help?
Well, Joe McKenzie, thanks so much for asking. And yes, that is on page 41 of the book, Words to the Wise. To answer your question, it's so difficult, in my opinion. Primarily, the reason is fear. We fear that we'll be turned down. We fear that someone might laugh at us, or we might be revealed to be a fraud, even though we're not certain about what it is. We're not a fraud, but we just don't want to face those particular facts. Most of the time, fear is not really founded. The acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. And so because of that, we don't really want to ask for help, because this seemingly simple act carries a number of high social risks, like rejection, like vulnerability, like the maybe diminished status, or the inherent relinquishing of control. So in the face of these particular threats, Joe McKenzie, fear tends to override reason. And there are some studies in neuroscience that show this risk of emotional pain really paralyzes a lot of people. And so rather than reaching out, we don't even reach in, and we are just frozen in time.
Mm.
I think another reason why people find it difficult, that we're pretty terrible at articulating what our needs are in a way that someone can offer constructive help for us when we need it. And that's partially, yeah, I think, due to this illusion of being too transparent. I guess a lot of people don't want to come off as saying that I'm needy, that I really need help, or I don't know what to do. We want to be seen as strong. We want to be seen as vibrant. We want to be seen as really intelligent folks. So we wait for someone to notice our telepathic idea that we need help, rather than going outwardly and asking for the help we need.
So what I hear you saying is many people will hope that what they're up against, someone else will give them permission to ask for help, versus being proactive to say, you know, Freddie, I've been really struggling at this part of my career. You probably didn't know it, but that's a big leap of faith for that individual to know that that person, you know, if I was asking you, Freddie may be very busy right now. Freddie may not even understand where I'm coming from. All those things start to come around in that fear. Why would I even bother him with that? And that big leap is very, very difficult for people. And we hope that being proactive really doesn't come into mind when we're asking for help. It's almost waiting till someone to say, can I help you?
Exactly. It's interesting. You know, if you've ever looked at a book, you can even look in my book, Words of the Wise, you'll see there are some acknowledgments in a good book. Or if you've watched the Academy Awards acceptance speeches, you know that no one achieves great things in a vacuum. Even with these seemingly individual accomplishments, there are a lot of people behind the scenes offering their help and their skills, their insights, their expertise to help someone else who's in the limelight. So we depend on each other, don't we, to grow. We depend on each other to learn. And it also makes us feel good when we can help somebody. So if we don't ask for help when we need it, we're depriving somebody else of that opportunity to be a light in your life.
Yeah, that is very, very sound advice. I've seen that firsthand, that, you know, give that opportunity for that person to help you, because they're more than likely wanting to help you. But if you don't take that step, you're not giving them that opportunity. And you're absolutely right. We've talked about those advocates in our lives that we can lean into. We can ask for help. You know, looking at your book and all the people that were behind the scenes, your friends and family and your listeners who helped get this book to the market, you know, that just says it all right there, Freddie, that it wasn't just you, but you relied upon a lot of people to get this book out. And once this book is now out, think of how many people you're helping that read it every day, who hear it on radio And because you asked for help, now you're helping a lot more people than if you didn't ask for help years ago.
Absolutely. Even my intern who gave me the greatest help helped me to get this book out. You've helped me to get this book out. The family has helped me to get this book out. And, you know, I did not apologize for asking for the help. Nobody, in my opinion, Joe McKenzie, gets excited about a task and that the asker, nobody gets excited about doing something that seems hard. But we all need help sometimes. And if nothing, and it's really nothing to be ashamed of, but apologizing for the help that you need, like you're doing something wrong by asking, it casts that task in a negative light. You want to say, look, I'm writing this book, or I'm being cast in this new opportunity, and how would I go about accomplishing X? What do I do to publish a great book? What do I do to stand out in the hiring process? This is an opportunity for everybody to collaborate and make each one of us better as a result.
Absolutely, Freddie Bell. I couldn't say it any better in regards to on the career side. You think about that. You use the word collaborative. Collaborating with someone will more than likely result in positive outcomes for more people than you ever imagined. It could be your friends, your family, your coworkers, your community, your faith organizations, all of that because you ask for help and you understand the power of collaboration. And that's what, you know, I'm here you saying in regards to this book and beyond. We're helping a lot. You are helping a lot more people today because of the help you asked a few years ago in putting this book together.
That's true. And, you know, and help is just help. It's just that. It's not a quid pro quo, Joe McKenzie. If you're asking for help, it's important to be very clear that you're asking for help. And I think I'm old school, Joe. I think you pick up the telephone, or if you have to use email, or if you have to use text or Slack or however you communicate, you let them know that I'll be calling you in a couple of days or in the next hour to ask you for the help that I need. And I think it's very important to be very clear for whatever it is that you're asking for from that person. And it's not a reciprocal kind of thing. So we don't need to sweeten the deal with the promise of returning a favor. I mean, it's a good strategy for business transactions, perhaps. But what you're saying is, I know that you and I perceive that you have a certain expertise in this particular area, whatever it is, and I need your help to accomplish X. Very clear. You're not apologizing, but you're very straightforward and asking for the help. And when you do that, you know, it makes fear evaporate, Joe McKenzie.
I can fully appreciate that approach and knowing that there's no hidden agenda there. You are asking specifically what you're looking for, that clarity, that transparency, and everybody's on the same page with that. Why you're asking for help. You use the word old school. I think it's refreshing that someone will come to me and say, I really need your help on this.
It is
and
refreshing.
It makes that person stand out, and I just lean in and I say, thank you. How can I be of value to you today?
Mm. I'll say that this is the last thing I'll say about this. The next time you think you need some help, remember that there are more people than you think who are eager to lend a hand. They are waiting for you to ask for help. And more importantly, these suggestions ask in a way that empowers you, and it also empowers the person you're asking, and it helps them to reap the rewards of generosity and, as I mentioned earlier, collaboration, Joe McKenzie.
Absolutely, Freddie Bell. Absolutely.
Hey, we got to leave it right there. And if you like more information, just visit the website, freddiebell.com. Follow me on Twitter, @FreddieBell. And this is New Beginnings. On the lighter side on New Beginnings, humans are still evolving. Some have suggested that modern medicine has frozen human evolution. With advanced medicine and reproductive technologies, the vast majority of humans enjoy lifespans long enough to pass on their genes to the next generation. But a study found natural selection is still altering the human genome in subtle ways. When researchers surveyed the genomes of 210,000 people from the United States and Britain, they found genetic anomalies linked to Alzheimer's disease and heavy smoking were less common among those with longer lifespans. Scientists also found those who lived longer were less likely to carry genetic mutations linked with heart disease, high cholesterol, obesity, and asthma. The findings suggested humans are still influenced by natural selections, as those with longer lifespans are more likely to pass along their mutation-free genes. What would you do if you found $1 million in your account? Student loans have been a hot topic in the last couple of weeks, which reminded me of a story out of South Africa from a few years ago. A college student in South Africa woke up one day to find $1 million in her bank account. The company responsible for administering student loans made a clerical error that turned her from a starving student on a ramen noodle budget to a high roller overnight. While she apparently called to confirm the deposit, was told it was correct, and it very obviously was not. That didn't stop her from going on a 2-month spending spree. Some fellow students noticed her standard of living had suddenly risen and told authorities. Fortunately, by the time the school looked into it, the woman had only spent $60,000 of the $1 million. And, of course, she was forced to pay it back. What would you do if you woke up to find $1 million in your bank account? And did you know that food is a fundamental human right, much like air and water? Yet hunger and food insecurity are widespread in the United States. In 2020, almost 14 million households, 10.5% of the population, did not have enough food to meet their needs, which greatly affected their health, well-being, and quality of life. From June 1st through June 13th of this year, almost 24 million households, including 11.6 million households with children under the age of 18, report that they sometimes or often did not have enough food to eat during the week. And here are four things that you probably didn't know yesterday is time to upgrade your IQ. An 18-inch pizza has more pizza than two 12-inch pizzas. Figure that one out. More people live in California than in all of Canada. If you travel due south from Detroit, you'll be in Canada. And the world is less than 1% water. The surface is around 70% water, but by volume is only 1%. On the lighter side this week on New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
All Minnesotans aged 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People aged 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your healthcare provider or pharmacy or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. We're continuing our conversation about side hustles. Just to bring everybody up to date again, what is a side hustle?
Side hustle is a way of monetizing your knowledge or time on the side, not as a full-time job.
And you also mentioned when we were together that a lot of people who are baby boomers in particular have side hustles. They leave and retire, and then they contract themselves back to the company from which they were working, and you call that consulting.
Yep. So that is certainly a path that I highly recommend people doing. I think consulting is a great side gig. Yep.
And you mentioned some challenges when we were together. You said there are two big challenges that retirees face when they start a side hustle. What are those two challenges?
So the two challenges that you really face is that when you enter this world of side hustles or side gigs, is you become a predator. You become prey for these predators out there who are looking to sell you things, whether it's online courses or they're just looking to take advantage of you. And so you need to be very wary of people who are trying to sell you stuff. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. So you really gotta have a sharp eye for that stuff. And you gotta say no to more things than you say yes to. And you really should say no to almost everything unless it's going to actually make you money, right? Because the good things out there, they'll give you an opportunity to make money. They don't really need you to pay money in order to make money.
Interesting. So would a rule of thumb be if they're asking you to invest your money so that you can have a side hustle, that's probably not a good hustle for you?
Yeah, that probably means that their hustle is making money from you and not making you money.
So what are the drawbacks of having a side hustle? You just mentioned how great it could be. But are there any drawbacks to having that side hustle in retirement?
Yeah, so there are some drawbacks. There are some drawbacks that you should consider. Number one, right, is the involvement, right? So you have the time involvement that, you know, this thing is going to take up time in your life. And you are retired, right? So if you don't need the money and you have what to fill your days with, then why are you doing it, right? Now, if you do need the money, and it is something, then find something that takes the least amount of time, right? Don't just go for anything. Like I was talking to someone the other day and, you know, they were like, oh, you know, I'll get a job doing, you know, in daycare, you know, assisting in daycare. I'm like, why would you be a daycare assistant, which pays, you know, minimum wage, when you could be a consultant for the daycare facility? You've been running a daycare for 25 years. You know the ins and outs. You can show people how to set up a daycare facility and make a lot more money doing that. So what I want you to do in retirement, right, when you're thinking of how do I make money, is ask yourself the question of how can I benefit the most amount of people, or who stands to make the most amount of money off of the knowledge that I have? And then go to that person and offer them your services, offer them your knowledge or your ability, and ask them what they're willing to pay, right? Because that's how you should monetize your time and your expertise in retirement. You should do that now too. You may not have the ability now to do it, but in general, that's how you should do it. But your time becomes a lot more valuable. It's not worth minimum wage, right? It's worth as a lot because you got a lot less of it.
The last time we were talking, you mentioned the janitor who's become an expert in cleaning schools. You use that as an example, and maybe he's been there 30 years. I heard a rule of thumb that is 2.5 times what you are making in a consultancy based on what you're making before is a good place to start.
You can charge really whatever you want, right? Like I don't know if this is a joke or not, but the saying goes, right? A guy comes and says, you know, I need my engine fixed, right? And he goes shopping around to engineers, right? And the engineers all come and they're like, oh, it's going to cost whatever to fix it. And then he comes to one engineer and the guy says, you know, he comes in and he takes his hammer and he bangs on it once and he says, it's $30,000. He says, why is that $30,000? And he says, the hammer is $5 and then $29,000 and nine of whatever to know where to bang it, right? But that's really the truth, right? Man. It's you the knowledge and experience you have, don't underestimate that. And it's not just that. There's this emotional intelligence, right, that should not be underestimated. Right? It is seriously lacking right now, the ability to connect with other people on an emotional level. It is the fact that you understand customers, you understand their needs, and you understand why they want things, right? Like, a janitor who's been working as a janitor for, you know, 30 years in a school district, they're not cleaning the school because of the money, right? They're cleaning it because they know that it makes the students happy, because they know that when the bathrooms are clean and the hallways are clean, everyone is happier and they learn better and have better outcomes, right? And it makes everyone's life better, right? They know the kids whose, you know, parents are drug addicts, and this is their only safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
But that emotional intelligence, right? That knowledge, that awareness of why these things are important, that's something it's something that's not taught in school. It's something that's like a very nurture kind of thing. And the environment that we're raised in now, with technology surrounded by instant messaging and, you know, 5-second attention spans, it's something that is lacking, right? And it's something that businesses need to figure out how to educate their personnel on. But it's something that everyone who didn't grow up with technology or grew up with limited technology innately has.
Very
and being able to identify that and connect those needs is incredibly valuable.
I have another question for you. However, before we get there, do you have anything on yieldsforyou.com that speaks to side hustles?
So we have some articles, and we have a course coming out specifically on side hustles, ins and outs of what to do, what to consider, and how to avoid getting scammed. And if you ever have any doubts, if you have something that you're looking into and you're wondering whether it is a legit side hustle or a scam, feel free to email us or submit it on our website. More than happy to take a look. That's LEIBEL at yieldsforyou.com. I'll take a look and let you know if it is legit or not.
Really interesting. So I'm guessing that you have some favorite side hustles you might want to share with us today.
My favorite side hustles, other than consulting, which I think is really great, you always have, you know, Uber Eats and, you know, Uber and that kind of stuff, which, it's a great, you know, making a little bit of money. What I think also is there's this knowledge economy that's growing. It is a business. I will add that caveat. It is a business. You're creating a business from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have 30, 50 years of experience, of knowledge, of doing the same thing, right? And right now, the average worker stays in the same job, 3 to 5 years before moving on employers, even moving on careers. That's not true of the baby boomers. That's not true of the generation, you know, XYs, right? They've been in their jobs for a while. They have institutional knowledge. That institutional knowledge, that knowledge that you have of just how things work, you can monetize that. You can create a course, a book. You can sell that. So I highly recommend that you actually take the time to do it. Partner up with somebody who knows the business. Go find a 20-year-old who knows marketing, who can sell on TikTok and Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and split it 50-50, because they'll be more than happy to go sell it, and you have the knowledge, right? So that to me is the best. Team up with a young one and sell with them. Second to that is go on freelancer.com, go on fiverr.com, go on Upwork, go over there. See what people are doing that you can offer your experience, that you look at it and you say, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then it's like, okay, well, you know what? I have an extra few hours this weekend, or I see this project that really entices me. I want to take it on, right? Go take it on, make an extra few $100, an extra few $1,000. It can be a full-time job. It can be a part-time job. It can be whatever you want.
So are there some side hustles liable that are specifically for retirees?
Specifically to retirees, there are part-time jobs that are specifically to retirees. There are things, you know, like parking attendants and, you know, things like that, that are more conducive because they're more designed to be part-time, mm-hmm. right? Like they're sign up when you can do it, when you want to do it. They don't involve a lot of, you know, you do physical labor, and they're, but they exist. They don't make a lot of money. But I would really implore you look online, because that's going to be the most conducive for you. The other thing, consulting. Oh, there's also, you can be on a board of directors. There's a whole, wow. There's a whole world of being on board of directors. Again, leveraging that knowledge, right? This whole new world of knowledge, selling your knowledge and experience.
Interesting. How much can you make being on a board of directors?
I think the average board of director makes $50,000 a year.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Now I don't think as the average retiree will make that kind of money, but I think that, you go volunteer for your local Rotary Club, right? You go volunteer your local country club. Maybe you get free membership there, right? Maybe you get you. They all have dinners, or you now have a dinner once a year. And then also you can do charities, right? Maybe it's $5,000 a year, right? That they pay you to be on the board.
That's not bad. That's not bad. So to sum all this up, we've only got about 90 seconds, Lyval. So if you could tell us the benefits of having a side hustle in retirement.
The benefit of a side hustle, number one, it gives you a stream of income in retirement that's not tied to your assets, that allows you to kind of turn it on and off whenever you want. So when the market is going down and you don't want to pull money out of the market to live off of, you have another source of income that you can rely on. It gives you an extra safety cushion. So that, I think, is really valuable. The other thing it does is it allows people to retire sooner than they otherwise would be able to. Because maybe instead of having to have everything you need to retire, you retire part-time, or you retire and maybe you just work a month or two, or you work, online jobs to supplement your savings, because you can make your savings stretch that way. If you make it last longer by having a side hustle.
Wow. Side hustles. Who knew that it could be so lucrative and I can imagine so much fun for people because they already have this institutional knowledge. YieldsForYou.com, YieldsU.com. And you have a course there. And if you like more information, go ahead and contact Lyval. I'm sure there's some great information that you can get from the side hustle. Thank you, Lyval. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Hi, everyone. It's time for the buzz on New Beginnings. Live Nation says it's reducing waste at its venues and festivals. The Live Entertainment Company says it's introducing reusable cups at its events and says it's another step in its goal to eliminate single-use plastics and work toward zero-waste concerts. Live Nation says the system has already been used at several events recently. Coco Gauff's hopes of winning her first Grand Slam are over, at least for this tennis season. The 18-year-old Florida native lost in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open in New York. Frances Caroline Garcia upset the 12th seed in straight sets. This was the farthest Gauff has ever advanced in the Open, and she said afterwards that there is a lot to be proud of, adding that she's disappointed, but this will make her work even harder. And tickets for the 37th annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony are on sale this weekend. The ceremony is scheduled for Saturday, November 5th at the Microsoft Theater in L.A. This year's inductees include Pat Benatar, Neil Giraldo, Duran Duran, Eminem, The Eurythmics, Dolly Parton, Lionel Richie, and Carly Simon. That's the buzz. Follow me on Instagram, Freddie Bell Radio. You can tweet me at Twitter, at Freddie Bell. And, of course, follow the conversation on Facebook. We'll be right back.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble. Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go.
To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Perhaps you have a challenge in your life, financial affairs, relationships, career situations. Anything, you name it. You can choose to work in the divine pattern and look at this situation that concerns you, even something within you, an uneasy heart, a confused mind, and say, let there be light. In other words, acknowledging that all creation, all newness, begins with a declaration of light, of clarity, of consciousness, of awakening. In that, you may ask, what does this situation in my life, this relationship, need? It always needs more light, more clarity, more understanding. Perhaps if your relationships and family or with neighbors or at work are a bit rocky or troubled, declare light for them. And say, in this light, in this awakening, in my willingness to be present to my life, what is needed here? And the creative thought may come to you. More compassion and empathy is needed here. More cooperation is needed here. More creativity of new possibilities is needed here. Let there be light. Let my self-declaration, speaking to my life, my concerns, which of course always includes this church, what will help? What will assist? What will heal? What will take us forward? Let there be light. Let my mind awaken and my heart open to new possibilities. And I promise you, I have no doubt about it, I'll offer you a guarantee. You come to me, and you can't ask for your money back because I didn't charge you for this service. You come to me and tell me, if you declared light in your life, if you said, I am willing to consciously look at the situation in my life, and if you listen to your heart, you will get direction. I need to practice forgiveness, letting go, here now in my life. And if you practice that, if you give it the old college try, as we used to say, and you don't find any result in time, my father used to say, many healings only come about when you apply a tincture of time. In other words, it takes a little time. And if you don't see some result, some good benefit, I want to know about it. Tell me. You're all scientists of life. I want to know the results of your research. Now, if we had time this morning, we'd go through all 7 days of creation. They're all sequential. They all build upon one another. That's how this physical universe came about. That's how amazing things that are not yet will one day be. Working through this orderly creative process. But it all begins every day, each and every day, for you and your life, with this declaration, let there be light, more and more light in my life. I am willing to look into this radiance, and I am willing to step forward in what my life is calling me to express. More empathy for myself, for others. More justice. And that means the equal operation of life's principles for everyone. It may involve the courts. It may not. We need to start with the essential light. That is the equal application of life's principles for each and every one. The equal application. Those who initiated the idea of America caught that idea. Now, in many ways, the society at that time was not just, not evenly applied to all. But that doesn't mean that we have to discount the great vision they had. That all men, that all people were created equal, with certain rights that couldn't be taken away. Including liberty and the pursuit of happiness to live their life. Well, we got to talk about the rubber on the road. This very weekend, something happened in our society. And it's quite interesting, at least to me. No, I say to everyone, quite interesting when you have two events, two ideas, two happenings. How do they relate? What's going on between them? There's a great parade downtown and a huge celebration of pride. I am grateful that I exist. I am grateful that all people exist. But our society at times needs balancing. I looked back 40 years when I joined with friends in Kansas City. We got the use of a parking lot not even as big as this room. We set up tables to have Kansas City's first Pride Festival, hoping that maybe a couple of dozen people would show up.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
It's a great weekend on New Beginnings. You can follow me on Twitter at Freddie Bell, as well as Instagram, Freddie Bell Radio, and of course, follow me on Facebook, Freddie Bell Radio Shows. And did you know that today is National Beer Lovers Day? It celebrates the grains, the hops, and the brewing methods across many eras. Beer and the process of brewing it may predate known history. As varied as the methods, grains, and flavors, beer continues to change and evolve. Virginia colonists brewed beer. William Penn included a place for brewing beer within the Pennsylvania colony. It can still be visited at Pensbury Manor today. The first president of the United States recorded a recipe for brewing beer in his notes. Samuel Adams holds a place in both beer and tea history in this country. There were a few beer lovers and patriots among the nation's founders. The United States also derives its rich brewing history from beer-loving German immigrants during the mid-1800s. And some of those family names are as familiar today as they were a few hundred years ago. And while some names have faded into the past, smaller batch brewers continue experimenting with new and old recipes. Whatever the process, whatever the brew, this is a day to raise a stein or a beer above your head and say Happy Beer Day. Oh, and by the way, drink responsibly. And here are today's words of the wise. Do it now. Today's words of the wise: do it now. You can find this and others in my brand new book entitled Words to the Wise, available at Barnes & Noble and at Amazon.com. Words to the Wise is also available at my website, too. Well, that's our show for this week. A special thanks to Dr. Nathan Chomolo from the state of Minnesota for stopping by. We give a special nod to Leibel Sternbach and Joe McKenzie, plus our friends at AARP and Unity South Twin Cities. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our show this week. And we leave you with this reminder that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Follow me on Instagram, Freddie Bell Radio, on Twitter at Freddie Bell, and join in the conversation on Facebook. We'll see you again next week.